Welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. I'm Tom.
And I'm Paulie. We interview world authorities and experts in health and wellness optimization, psychology and spirituality.
And we don't mind chewing the fat either, just the two of us.
If you feel like being part of a casual yarn about self-awareness and growth, pull up a chair because the coffee's still hot.
We'll see you on the inside.
Yeah, it's been a really fantastic week, I think, for us. We started rolling, just to give everyone, the deep dive insight. We started rolling just with podcast episodes. We've recorded about four, and we weren't quite sure where we'd take us. And if you've listened to those previous shows, you'll recognize, because, you know, Paulie and I have said it a couple of times, that we just love talking. We just love hanging out. You know, the best thing about our friendship is that it's also a friendship built upon how we can optimize our own lives, you know, because we feel that we're both busy blokes. Paulie's a dad. I'm yet to be a dad, but I certainly resonate with the word busyness, for better or for worse sometimes, I think. So this podcast is very meaningful for the both of us, and we hope that we can give you some value too.
100%. And just a quick reference point, if you're listening to this, you're most likely not going to have listened to an episode previous to this.
True.
Opening episode. But yes. Reference point, we have recorded four episodes before this. So as you continue to kind of listen to these episodes, there may be like a different name for the show every single episode. We're really pumped for it, because I think we've all experienced busyness to a certain degree in our lives, and whatever stresses that we have put on ourselves to bring that kind of challenge to the surface. I think Tom and I really make it our business, and I'd love to kind of dive a little bit deeper into this, Tom, as to why we have extrapolated our own personal toolkits to be able to create a filter in our own lives, and then for men around us to be able to do that as well. So, I mean, let's just take a bit of a dive, Tom, in your own personal circumstances, and what's led you to this path of well-being, and why you want to help men in their pursuit of calmness, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my path to well-being was, I think for most people, started off because I didn't really have a choice. You know, I was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder in 2014. It is something I still manage, and I have done all sorts of work and tried to explore belief systems to move beyond. You know, I never wanted a label to define who I was. And, it's been a path for 8 years now, and, it's the book I'm writing at the moment. It's book number four, taking on more of a clinical perspective, you know, cause I work as a counselor. 2014 was a very challenging year for me. It started off with obsessive and intrusive thoughts toward the end of 2013. They were always there, but it was becoming harder and harder for me to, disregard, I suppose. And what came from that was a path of deep reflection. And, you know, I learned different things, learned different modalities. I was very interested in CrossFit. That's where you and I met, obviously. But I suppose one of the reasons why I'm really excited to niche down on helping fellas, I think aside from clinical practice, one of the great things about it is you're exposed to a variety of demographics, you know, and everyone has their struggles. And I think, you know, from the outset, this isn't exclusively just to listen if you're only a bloke, you know. This is, you know, we all know men. And I think, Paulie and I wanted to niche down that, I think, because we are men. You know, you obviously have helped busy dads. That was very a major change in your life when you became a father. Certainly something I'm looking forward to as well. But just because we can speak from that, you know, with our own experience, I think is really, really exciting. But the other reason I'm really excited about niching in that area is because times are changing for guys, I think, in a really lovely way. I think there's a lot of pushback and, you know, hey, you know, the world's done with masculinity. And I personally just don't see it like that. I think masculinity now is becoming something that it always should have been, which is different for all of us. You know, that's kind of what it is. That's the cool thing about it. You know, masculinity used to be this idea that was only synonymous with strength, power, domination. I'm the man. Let's, you know, leadership will go this way. And now it's becoming this thing that can be embraced by all different sorts of men and women, because at the end, masculinity is an energy, you know, and that's something that we hope to be talking about. But yeah, OCD, funnily enough, was my entry into wellbeing.
Love that. Thank you for the openness and, you know, the door opening as to the journey that brought you to where we are today, because through these challenges that you've experienced, and I'm sure continue to experience, it gives the rest of the world and those of us listening the gift of what you've been able to go through and also guide the people that you are currently guiding, and in the past and also in the future.
Absolutely. And I think you can't, everyone, I mean, we all have a story, and you know, I think you can alchemize pain into someone's sense of direction, someone else, you know, everyone is at day one of some journey. And if you can speak to your own experience, it's something that you and I always love to talk about as well. You know, that can be a force for good. And I think fundamentally human beings tell stories, and you can use those stories to help others. So, but yeah, tell us about your story then. That's a lovely little segue, Paulie.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, I've been in the health and wellbeing world for about 20 years now. So I'm not, as mentioned before, I'm not a veteran, I'm a dinosaur.
Exactly.
And I've been around it for quite some time, but I've also had a tremendous passion for the way the human body and movement works. That has evolved over time through various challenges I've experienced myself. It evolved probably about, you know, 8 years into my experience. It evolved into the mind-body connection and how exactly we get results with our body through our mind and vice versa, up, down, top, up. And I became fascinated with it so much. And I'll just edge into why and the impetus as to why I became fascinated by it. The impetus really was an uncontrollable neurological twitch that I've experienced. I've experienced a series of these from young childhood. And I continue to experience them. And I became fascinated by it. I first became very frustrated by it, embarrassed by it, amongst many other things. And it kind of instigated a path as to where this mind-body relationship begins and how it can kind of flourish, as well as, you know, it started with me kind of saying, how do I interrupt this mind, this subconscious autonomic thing that is taking place. But then it really continued my fascination into this mind-body relationship. And, you know, I took a reasonable break from life in Melbourne. I went traveling to India for about a year to go straight to the source, and kind of hung out in the foothills of the Himalayas in Dharamsala, and just immersed myself in Tibetan Buddhism culture for a long period of time. Really tried to immerse myself in the understandings behind, as I said, Buddhism, meditation, understanding what the mind and body relationship is. And I just found that a completely transformative experience. That was about 10 odd years ago, maybe a little bit more. And then I've come back, lived my life, continued to develop, you know, my own practices when it comes to the body, but after I came back, my approach to training and health in general has been a lot more holistic than it has been in the past. So I continue to do that. Next major stage in my life, apart from meeting my beautiful wife and, you know, getting married and doing that, was starting a family, and the challenge came up with starting a family. And that's when, you know, I really saw the need for guidance when it came to my friends around me who were also having families and letting their health take a really big dip and backseat, and understanding that their belief system was this is simply what needs to happen.
Yes.
Family ticking along, the sacrifices that we need to make to keep our family moving forward. And it just didn't resonate with me. I needed to find another way. And that's not to say that there are times where, you know, you're not going to be able to go to the gym or whatever it might be, but to be able to give to yourself so you can give to your family and those around you make so much more sense to me. And that's been my mantra as much as I can possibly make it. And it hasn't been a seamless transition and ride, but I've definitely experienced various different challenges throughout that, but I've made it my purpose and my guide to guide men who are stepping into parenthood or who have dealt with parenthood for long periods of time and continue to struggle in that realm. So you're right, it's a new paradigm of masculinity, and it's about owning masculinity and vulnerability at the same time, and being able to immerse yourself in who you are and what you want and who you stand for, so you can be physically and emotionally available to your loved ones long into the future.
Oh mate, wonderful. Beautiful words. Love it. Absolutely love it. Mate, just as a short tangent, can you take us through some of the practices that you adopted on your travels in India, and some of the things that you learnt spending time in solitude with spiritual masters and teachers, I suppose? I've actually never really asked you about that, and I'd just love to hear about it.
Yeah, sure. So I found my way in India. So, like, I'd never been to a country like India. And I think when anyone has stepped into India, they would probably always say that. There is no country like India. It's literally like a country unto itself. Obviously,
geographically speaking,
energy-wise,
yes,
there's an assault of the senses. There's your understanding of what personal space is in a country growing up like Australia, throw that completely out of the window when it comes to India. But I digress. Stepping into, the foothills of in Dharamsala, I attended a Tibetan meditation, silent meditation retreat for 10 days. And this was pretty much within the first 48 hours of arriving in India. I was like on a bus, which I'm pretty sure was put together with paddle pops and
paper mache.
And it was like, and I was sitting there driving up this bus and looking around, and I was sat right next to this like really stoic looking Tibetan monk. And I was like, whilst there was a lot of chaos going on, I was like, I think I'm going to like this place. And then this monk got out a plastic, a paper bag, and just started chucking his guts up into
it. Are you kidding?
Put him in there. And I mean, like, over and over and over again, I'm like, okay.
Nice.
India's going to be a hell of a ride. Yes. And, anyway, found my way into this Gompa, which is basically this meditation hall. From the moment we arrived, it was silence, and we learned so much about Tibetan culture and the Buddhist meditation traditions, and how we can incorporate it into our everyday life. We had something called our Dharma jobs, and this was something that we did every day, which was something, maybe it was washing dishes. For me, it was sweeping the Gompa with, as I said, the meditation hall, which were with like a really old school kind of feather duster kind of thing, room. And it was about using an everyday menial task like sweeping the gompa or the steps, but creating as much awareness and mindfulness to it as humanly possible. And, you know, the setting and the surroundings that we were placed in was way up in the mountains, monkeys everywhere. It was like, honestly, whenever I want to transform my mind and go back to a place where I am at ease. You know how when you know sometimes at least for me, you know, I can experience like recordings where you know the person on the recording says, go back to a place where you feel at ease, and that's the first place I go to.
Yes.
And I'll find myself in these incredible scenarios. And the cool thing is you know, you're in this complete silence, surrounded by not knowing who these people are around you either, because they don't talk either. So you start creating these stories in your mind. Who's that guy? Who's that girl? Like, what country are they from? What are their pasts like?
Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't know.
You literally have no idea.
Yeah.
And I know after speaking to people after the event, people are like, dude, I thought you were like some Italian guy who, you know, like no one knows anything about anyone. But the point is there's so much stuff going on in our minds, the chatter, the monkey mind that continues to, which is part of the human condition, right? And you continue to create these narratives. But the cool thing is also once you eliminate that expectation of talking to somebody, it opens up this whole new way of connecting. I specifically remember, you know, just sitting, eating something and looking out over this stunning kind of landscape in the mountains in India, and a girl who I'm still Facebook friends with, and she's just the sweetest girl. She just recently had a child, and it was really nice. She came to me, obviously without talking, but she just went, and she just was asking me to go for a walk together. And we'd probably been in each other's presence for about 5-6 days, and we just went for a walk, and without any expectation of making small talk, without any because it was not an option.
Yes.
And once you remove those social constructs and potential anxieties, like I know I do fall into that category of sometimes, you know, like filling in anxious gaps, you know, but that wasn't an option. So to be able to just fully immerse yourself into just being and being with another human being and interacting with them whilst eliminating the possibility of talking, it's like the comfort that you can just put yourself into with just kind of being was really pretty special.
God, mate. Isn't that just awesome? And I think I've had a couple of friends that have done 10-day retreats, you know, and you come up with so many personal realizations, you know, about how you interact with people, you know, and how many more decisions you have to make in life when you're an active agent in that participation, you know, because you're talking, so you're in there 50%.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It's something I've always wanted to do. Also, funnily enough, something I never realized you did as well. And that's awesome. I'm looking forward to learning more about that, man, because it's, as I said, it's something I'd love to do one day.
Yeah, it was pretty special. It was pretty amazing. It wasn't, just to clarify, it wasn't Vipassana, which is what, which there is a difference between what I did on that retreat, which has greater stimulus because we have, like, for lack of a better word, like, we had planned guided meditations and lectures, so to speak, where you would have, we had this hilarious dude who was our leader, so or whatever you want to call it, who was a monk for decades. He would give us teachings throughout the day on Buddhist principles. Okay. And now in from what I understand, which I haven't ever done Vipassana, Vipassana is very much a deeply insular personal experience where you are sat down for 24 hours a day, you know, concentrating on your breath in that position. I haven't experienced it, so I can't comment on it. But what this did was give me something a little bit more tangible to chew on, principle-wise, Tibetan-wise, gave me texts to really dissect my own mind. And then what that did was it gave me theory. And then what it also did was it gave me practice element for me to take that theory and apply it. So yes, they would take a principle in what the Buddha taught, and then let's take the principle of empathetic joy, to be able to have unattached, incredible joy for somebody outside of you without any jealousy or anything of that sense. And to be able to take then an hour to meditate on a single concept, to be able to use a path or a module for you to be able to train your mind to become, to have that, what they call, what do they call it? A shamatha, which is single-minded focus. Be able to train and strengthen the follicles or the capacity of your brain be able to have that single-minded focus, so you can then apply it to the sport of you know, empathetic joy or whatever principle it might be. And I look at that and I say, you know, there are easily some comparable principles between training the mind and training the body, you know.
Yes.
Practicing shamatha is like strengthening your core or your single leg leap, and then and then applying that shamatha to empathetic joy might be to go out for a mark in football, you know. Yes. To transition that into the application of sport, the sport of empathetic joy or whatever it might be, the practice.
For sure. And look, I'm just going to be really selfish here again, because I'm just really interested. What was there something you were missing in your life prior to going on that kind of spiritual journey, I suppose, if you'd call it that? Or what was there something you were trying to seek?
As mentioned before, the impetus for me doing that was the struggles that I'd experienced with my tics.
Okay. Yeah.
I really struggled with it. It was a manifestation of anxiety that would come out through my body, and it's happened. I've struggled with tics my entire life. When I was really young, I would have really overt tics, and you know, I've gone down the path of various different medicines to be able to look at that. I mean, sometime I had at some stage been brought to a neurologist, and they were like, you've got to go on, you know, whatever neurological medication to be able to control these tics. And something within me was like, this needs to, I need to find another way.
Yeah.
And whilst that was a physical manifestation, I think I appreciate that was my body's way of dealing with anxiety. And at that particular point in my life, I just feel like I needed more. I needed to learn more. And I needed to find out more about not just my own personal situation, but also what our minds and our bodies and putting them together are actually capable of.
Yes.
And now we live in this world where we can go on the various different websites and see, you know, this icebergs of studies that are like quantifying everything that, you know, we may be thinking about. You can look up a study and go, wow, you know, a PhD has actually taken the time to devote 2, 3, 4 years of their life to be able to qualify this in a statistically backed up data rich manner. Whereas 12 years ago, I was just kind of going on a little bit of a whim and a hunch. and just to kind of explore that path within me.
Mm. But that doesn't, that also doesn't negate the fact that we also as human beings need to find what intuitively resonates with us, you know. 100%. And at the time for you, you know, a neurologist saying A, B, and C might have been enough for you, but it also wasn't, you know, and it might be for someone else, but it wasn't for you. And I think what's really wonderful, what I'm really excited about this podcast, this is a lovely little show of coincidence that I believe is that, not that I'm necessarily giant on labeling disorders and so forth, but I believe tic disorder is actually in the category of obsessive and related disorders, which is what brought me into this path. And I went down that route as well. It wasn't as immersive, but, you know, even just going to India, you know, as an example, one of the books, that transformed my life immensely was the Bhagavad Gita. Talking about Dharma, you know, the fruit of the labor is to be found within the labor itself, and all of these ideas that have just been wonderfully transformative. I just think that's lovely that, you know, tics, obsessions, whatever it is, you know, what I came to learn as well is exactly the same as what you learned, is that OCD for me was and is a manifestation of how I deal with uncertainty, you know, and it can be wonderfully powerful and a superpower to become engrossed and obsessed with things, but there are negative externalities associated with that in the running of intrusive thoughts and obsessive thoughts. So I think if you can just, whatever it is, tics, forbidden thoughts, you know, we all have to walk on these lines and ensure that we view our minds and our bodies as these things to be cultivated and harnessed for their potential, whilst also being aware of the negative side effects that we can do work in to balance and restore and maintain.
Yeah, beautifully said. And it just shows how powerful our minds are and what we are able to do to be able to strengthen these muscles, either internally or externally, to be able to, I suppose, channel an actual solution or a direction that we are trying to take. And that speaks to kind of the bottom up and the top down kind of approaches that we will continue to explore throughout this show. I love both. You know, you've deeply immersed yourself of recent times in this top-down experience and methodology, which I love, because I think I, whilst have definitely, you know, in an informal sense kind of explored that side of things, I've really decided to immerse myself in the bottom-up, which is, to give a brief explanation of that top down, really is being able to use your faculties mentally to be able to have an influence on your body and mind.
Yes.
And bottom up is to be able to use tools externally to be able to have an influence on your mind.
Yep.
And body. So an example of this, did you want to maybe go through an example of something that might be top down?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, and I think you make a great point. And I think we both believe that you need to use both. You know, I think for me, what has helped as an individual, and I think that's why I became interested in the top down approach, is understanding the way the mind works, such that we can become more aware cognitively of how that influences our behavior. A lot of that is kind of CBT related, which is kind of, you know, what we view as the gold standard of therapy, but not everyone is a computer.
And you want to just go through what CBT is, and you don't need to, you know, open up the encyclopedia.
Yes. It's a very broad term, but you know, simply put, it's called cognitive behavioral therapy, and it's just becoming more aware of how our thoughts affect our feelings, which affect our behavior. Mm-hmm. And top down is, you know, when you might speak to a therapist and you might say, oh, well, this is happening. And then we kind of put together a map of what's going on, because so much of the human being is a doing thing, but we don't necessarily explicitly understand what it is that we're doing. And that's when you have an honest conversation with someone. You go, oh, that's what I'm doing, because I thought I was doing this. So mm-hmm. we can become more aligned in the way we view ourselves and how that extrapolates into our behavior. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I like about becoming more aware of that is that it then overlaps into the bottom-up approach of doing things externally that then have a positive feedback loop onto your behavior. And that's what I say to clients all the time. It's when you're aware that this train of thought, because look, for the most part, we can't really change our thoughts and our feelings. Mm. You know, I can say, hey, let's think of a pink elephant. And there you go. You can think of a pink elephant. but for the most part, thoughts and feelings, at least as far as I understand it, are these kind of subconscious processes. You know, we're taking in information all the time and things are just coming into the bowl of our mind. What we can change is our behavior. You know, we do, I mean, behavior, it's very much habituated and it's something that we also need to be cognizant of, but we can change our behavior. And that, you know, if you look at the triad, thoughts, feelings, and behavior, that does affect thoughts and feelings. So to your point, using an example, let's call it a cold shower or a cold plunge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that exposure to cold, you know, we can talk about hormesis and all that kind of stuff in later shows, has an effect on the dopamine system, which mm-hmm. makes us feel good, you know, mm-hmm. and that therefore, you know, if we decide behaviorally to have a cold shower, we recognize that therefore we will feel good after it, and feeling good is going to have an impact on the way we think. Mm-hmm. So it's a top-down and a bottom-up approach. And I think you and I have just kind of, hopefully on the podcast, we're kind of meeting in the middle, taking what we've learned together.
Spot on. And I think the awareness of both is key, you know, time and a place for all, but also there's a time and a place for all, dependent on how the individual learns,
yes,
how the individual is receptive. So there's no one size fits all, you know, it's about understanding how somebody will learn this, perhaps creating awareness to somebody's anxieties and insecurities may be the first step. But then perhaps when you are in that anxiety, when you are in that struggle, yes, to be able to use a bottom-up tool like breath work, to be able to calm and bring you out of that sympathetic nervous system into the parasympathetic nervous system, using that tool to be able to then kind of take the edge off so you can open up that door,
yes,
to creating a little bit more mental awareness about what you're going through. So all of a sudden now you're dancing with both tools. You know, you're going top down and bottom up at the same time, being able to have that balance of just enough of each so you can actually just deal with the shit that you're going through right now.
Yes, yes, you know? Exactly, exactly. Well, mate, you're totally right. And I think, you know, I hope this kind of gives, you know, listeners and our audience a bit of an idea as to who we are and also start to recognize that we have a lot to talk about, you know, and we're really excited to talk about it, you know. And I think, you know, there's a point that I've really stressed and I've wanted to stress on episodes that we have already recorded, which you'll listen to, hopefully, if you like the show so far, is that, you know, Paulie and I are so aligned with how we think and how we view the world and even our own fucking experiences, you know. It's just very fulfilling for us to be kind of, you know, starting this podcast again. I think it's been a long time coming. And we really hope that it brings you guys some value.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautifully said. And I think to that note, we've also made a commitment to each other to keep these episodes as consumable and digestible as possible.
Yes.
So I think we're up on that that moment as well, because if we don't, geez, we'll just be in your ear for forever.
So we'll just keep going.
We'll just keep going.
And we both like coffee, so it is dangerous.
Which we can definitely talk about on future episodes, the benefits and the potential dangers of coffee as well. So yes. Looking forward to that, amongst many other things. Thank you for having us in your ear for the last 35 or so minutes. We've enjoyed it immensely, and I mean, we just love doing this. And if you haven't been able to tell already, this is like a true passion project of both of us. I think Tom and I love engaging with each other and feeding off of each other. If you have any questions or directions that you would like us to take, we are very much open to being able to hear that and take various episodes and be guided by you, the listener, because ultimately we can sit in here and, you know, have a joyous old time for the two of us. But ultimately we are trying to do this to be able to give you guys something to think about and to act upon, more importantly.
Totally, man. Totally. We'll be catching up twice a week. We'll make sure we stick to two shows a week, and we look forward to hearing from you guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.